The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. For most of us, is there any more alluring form of minor masochism than the good old-fashioned ghost story? The icy fingers running shivering shocks up and down the spine, playing that fascinating dichotomy of, this might have been me, but, oh, thank the Lord, it wasn't. So this ghost story begins with Joel and Jane Trent, early 20s, married 8 months, starting out in life with a future unlimited, except the present unfortunate necessity of counting every penny to make life work and to live in some dignity and comfort. And then, the fabulous break, or what seemed a fabulous break, that marvelous ad in the classified section of the Sunday Chronicle.
Joe, I found us a home. Are you listening?
All ears.
Eminently desirable, two bedrooms and baths for the right couple. Fully furnished sublet for at least 2 years. Please, not before 10 a.m. Sunday, HSM Apollyon, 27 Southwest 62nd Street.
So?
So what?
That's right off Central Park. It'd cost a fortune.
I saved the best for the last. Rent, $200 a month. 1 month security.
Oh, there's got to be something wrong with it.
Why?
It's too cheap.
Does that mean we can't look at it?
No, we'll be there on the dot, fighting the line. What have we got to lose?
What indeed? And don't be afraid of a crowd. Yours is the only paper this ad will appear in, because it's you I want. One advantage of being a rather special printer's devil.
Our mystery drama, The Real Printer's Devil, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Paul Hecht and Jada Rowland. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Time Magazine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Time, August 15th, 1944. Keeping pressure on the forces of Germany, the Allies decide to make a massive landing on the southern coast of France. Hundreds of Allied ships wait quietly for the signal to launch. This is James Drury with Navy Chronicle. Allied chiefs of staff meet. Plans are made. Efforts are coordinated. The attack will close the gap between campaigns in Italy and Normandy. After 4 months of preliminary bombing ending in a massive airstrike by our 1,400 planes, nearly 900 United States and British ships put thousands of troops ashore. A force of 9 escort aircraft carriers provide air cover and close air support for the assault. Allied warships destroy opposing enemy shore guns. The invasion is a speedy success, and the United States Navy was there.
You've been listening to Navy Chronicle, an historical series with James Drury and the U.S. Navy Band.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. Throughout time, God has spoken to man in dreams. Jehovah said in the Old Testament, "Listen to my words. If a man be a prophet, I make myself known to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams." So, pay attention to your own dreams. They might well reveal flashes of the future, predictions and warnings of things to come. They may give you a glimpse of God's guidance to lead you back to the peace and security of His way. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Could there be a more mundane, run-of-the-mill beginning to a really haunting ghost story than two young people on the way early on a bright Saturday morning to answer an ad for a sublet furnished apartment? But such an apartment. From their point of view, a steal at the price, at the location, containing everything they ever wanted. A long-term lease, a promise of heaven. But from another point of view, oh, well, that, as we shall see, is the hell of it.
The rooms will be small.
So, how big are we?
It'll be crawling with cockroaches.
My best friend's uncle's cousin is an exterminator.
It did say two bedrooms, didn't it?
That's what it said.
The second one is probably just a walk-in closet.
So, I'll build a fresh air duct to it. A crib doesn't take all that much floor space.
Oh, hold it.
What's the matter? And the baby didn't...
No, the baby didn't do anything. It's me. Oh, the way my tummy's revolving, it's lucky there aren't three of us here already instead of two. I'm scared.
Of what?
Look, 62nd Street. This is the corner. Supposing it really smells. Supposing the price was a misprint. Supposing the John's out in the hall. Suppose someone got there first and took it.
No way, no way. It isn't even 10 a.m. yet.
Oh, never mind. Let's get going. What was the number? 15? 17?
27. There it is, on the other side of the street.
Oh, it's an attractive building.
Yeah. Hey, there's a nice little garden around the main door.
And it looks so well kept up. Oh, Joel, it just seems too good to be true.
Well, come on. Let's find his bell. Ah, here it is. H.S.M. Apollyon. That's our fairy godfather.
Don't call him that.
I don't care how gay he is. The apartment's all I care about. Press the bell.
Okay. Be ready when he buzzes down.
Yeah.
Oh, why doesn't he answer?
Maybe he's in that John down the hall.
Oh, you...
Enter, my love.
Oh, I love the carpet. Bittersweet.
I hope nothing I said hurt his feelings.
Well, the elevator's waiting. Let's get it over with before I faint.
I have a few butterflies myself.
Got the floor number?
Yeah. And we are off.
Everything's so clean and efficient. Well taken care of. You sure it wasn't East 62nd?
No, look, here, 27 West.
I hope it's not too high up. What floor is it?
Oh, forget it, darling. Ask for later. Well, here we are.
Ah-ha-ha! I thought I heard the lift. My Anglican background, or I should say English. Elevator, I meant, of course. Are you here to see the flat? Apartment, I mean, naturally.
Yeah, we are. I'm Joel Trent. This is my wife, Jane.
H.S.M. Apollyon here, and won't you come in? You know, everyone always thinks I must be retired Navy or something. HMS, you know. His Majesty's ship, whatever. Only it isn't. It's HSM. Stands for something quite different, I assure you. And besides, I'm not one for water at all. Can't abide it. Well, this is the vestibule, or the foyer, or perhaps the hall, you'd call it. As you can see, it's very much like any other of its kind.
Oh, not at all, Mr. Apollyon. It's absolutely fabulous.
Oh, well, not exactly, but how nice of you to say so. One does do quite a bit of traveling, and some of the things you see, particularly those from the East, are quite, well, I won't say fabulous, unique, perhaps. Now, that Chris, for example, would you believe that it has both perfume and poison forged into the steel of its blade? And the sorcerer's cane, well, that's real hair, you know, at the handle. Now, which would you like to do first? A cup of tea and get acquainted and then do the flat, or the other way around?
Oh, if you don't mind, I'm just dying to see the apartment. I mean, the flat.
Then off we go. Oh. Oh, no. And by the by, before we do start, only because once before I did have quite a disappointment after showing a rather peculiar individual the apartment some 19 years ago. This man went all the way through the apartment. He was some sort of a minister, as I remember. And after deciding to take it, he changed his mind when he learned the number of the flat. You did notice it, didn't you?
Joel knows it. I don't. What is it, Joel?
It's apartment D.
On the 13th floor.
Oh, Well, that's just a silly superstition, isn't it?
Isn't it? Well, now, shall we have a look about? Do you take sugar with your tea, Mrs. Trent?
One lump, please. But really...
Mr. Trent, or would you prefer something stronger?
No, tea's just great. Two. Lumps, I mean.
And how about milk, Mrs. Trent?
No, thanks. Neither of us. But really, Mr. Apollyon, this is awfully kind of you, but we must be holding you up. I'm sure there'll be loads of other people in answer to your ad.
Well, they're not here yet, so we can enjoy our tea, eh? Besides, my dear, I have a sneaking suspicion that... your cup, Mr. Trent.
Thank you.
That not so many people are going to turn up in answer to the ad.
For a dream apartment like this, I can't believe that.
I was surprised there wasn't a line a mile long.
Well, how nice both of you are. You know, I've really taken quite a fancy to you.
That's very sweet of you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot.
It's so difficult today to find young people with all the good old-fashioned virtues. What am I saying? It's been very difficult for generations. So for my purpose, you're quite ideal.
I don't quite understand.
Oh, I thought I'd make myself quite clear. You're just the people I want in my apartment. That is, of course, if you're interested. And if there's anything I can do to make it more attractive to you,
attractive? Well, the whole place is just a dream. It's the sort of place Joel and I made up dreams about living in after saving everything we could make for the next 10 or 20 years. And now to think that at a price we can afford, we can start living that way right now.
Oh, dear me. Now, I didn't mean to upset her.
She's only crying because she's so happy, you see. You got to excuse her. It says in the book that women in her condition sort of... Uh-oh.
Oh, Joel.
I just slipped out, Jane.
Women in...
We just thought we'd have trouble finding something we could afford, and we wanted to have plenty of time. Aunt Gertrude's place in Mount Vernon just doesn't have room for all of us now, let alone...
Why, you're going to have a baby. Well, now, isn't that nice? My congratulations. It's a sort of a bonus, in a way.
You mean you don't mind babies?
Mind? I love them, just adore them. You can't know how much extra pleasure they afford me.
Oh, gee, that's great. What did you mean, a sort of bonus?
Oh, that. To think of being able to use the crib and the baby bath and all those things I once bought for a tenant and his wife and baby who were unfortunately lost in a plane crash on the very day they were to move in.
How awful.
Yes, snatched away from me at the last moment. Oh, I don't mean that the way it sounds. You see, I'd grown almost as fond of them as I have of you. Now, we must get down to business. I'll have the bed taken out of the small bedroom and set up the crib for you. And when could you move in?
Why, the sooner the better.
At your convenience, of course.
Oh, if I told you my convenience, my dears, I'm sure I would shock you.
Try me.
Well, today, this minute, this afternoon, if at all possible, not later than 6 o'clock.
You shocked me.
I know the ad said immediate occupancy, but I wasn't quite expecting it.
Let me explain. I had a tenant, you see, a most interesting man, a sort of a Billy Sunday, you might say. Fascinating challenge.
Challenge?
Oh, well, I shouldn't admit it, but I feel I know you both so well, even after the short acquaintance. Do you know, I've traveled a great deal, and I've never been able to resist the inordinately evil things that men have dreamed up as the centuries went rolling by. The grimoires, the devices of the Inquisition, our own New Englanders. I bought all sorts of quite horrible things. Pictures, instruments, statues, charms, and so forth. I keep them all hidden away in that big closet at the end of the hall. Oh, that's the only thing that's off limits, by the way. I keep it locked.
Oh, that would be perfectly all right. There's plenty of other closet space.
And you wouldn't be interested in this awful stuff anyway. As I said, this man was a minister, so I thought I'd really give him a start. So, I replaced everything and hung up all this perfectly awful stuff. Oh, quite bone-chilling and terribly evil.
But why?
Well, I wanted to see his reaction, so I thought I'd scare him off.
And naturally you did.
Good gracious, no, he loved it. Couldn't wait to move in. But someone greater than us solved the problem. Unfortunately, he was taken from us with a heart attack.
Oh, the poor man.
Yes, actually, he never realized how fortunate he was. Oh, but I didn't mean to depress you. Let's get back to all the fun and practical things. Now, I have some urgent business in the Near East, and I've booked an overnight plane for tonight. If I could possibly make that.
Joel, there's no reason why not, is there? You have the money.
Yeah.
And we have the time to run up to Mount Vernon and back and get enough clothes to settle in. Then we could bring the rest later.
Well, I guess it might be arranged. By the way, what business are you in, Mr. Apollyon?
Oh, that's a little difficult to explain. Rather like the import and export business.
Oh, you deal in objet d'art.
In a sense, yes, but perhaps a better word would be subjects. But to get back to our business, if you have the rent and the security with you, we'll exchange them for the keys, and sign the leases, give you a thorough briefing on the entire apartment, and then I can be off just as soon as you return.
Well, Mr.
Joel. Oh, forgive me, but at my age, I think I can take the liberty to use your first name. I'm a rich old man with no children, and money is no object to me. Now, if the rent is too high...
$200 a month for a two-bedroom apartment furnished like a palace? Why, it's...
Hush, 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 hush. Now, it's all I want from the right people. Besides, there is one little catch to the whole thing. Oh, dear, I hope it won't prove too much of a problem.
Oh, a catch?
Yes, I'm afraid so. Are you by any chance afraid of cats, Jane?
Cats? No, I love them. So does Joel. In fact, we've been thinking of getting one.
Oh, well, now that is a relief. You have one. And such a cat. Pure Abyssinian and the delight of my life. He's the only reason I must always find just the right tenant.
Can we meet him?
He might not like it.
Oh, have no fear about that. Smokey, that's his name. Smokey, he loves everyone.
Well, where is he? I'm dying to see him.
At the moment, he's at Le Chasseron being attended with loving care by Pierre and Christophe. So he will look his very best for his new conquests.
Conquests?
You, my dear. Oh, I promise you he will win your heart and soul when you meet him on your return.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, darling, it's marvelous. Just what we need.
Yeah, and just what we can afford.
You won't have to go tiptoeing around Aunt Gertrude's every night.
We both won't have to take a subway and a bus for 45 minutes to get to work every day. We could even walk. Jane, darling, the whole wide world's our oyster. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Yeah, but something is bothering you.
Oh, I know it's silly. It's just that 13.
Oh.
Couldn't it have been 12 or 14 or any other number?
Now, you're not going to let something silly like that bother you.
You know how superstitious I am. I just have such a funny feeling.
Well, maybe it's the number made it so cheap. Maybe we ought to be grateful.
I sure hope we're going to be. I guess we're in it now.
Jane, you and me just made the damnest deal in the world.
If only Joel could know how prophetic those words are. If only all of us were a little less gullible, the devil might have a long, hard task that could even discourage him. And if only he'd just take the people who are going his way. Why is he driven to tempt and maneuver and triumph by winning the others by artifice and indirection? Is it because he was once an angel, and when Lucifer fell, in his own shame, he must drag the rest of the world into the pit with him? I'll return in a moment with Act Two.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? to see the things you want to see. The touch, the height you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
In the free spirit department, Buick's mid-size 1976 Century has a lot going for it. Efficient size, lots of room, neat things like that. But Century offers bonuses. It's a Buick, remember, which says one heck of a lot about how nicely it takes care of you. And Century does something for the sake of practicality that no other American mid-size car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Century, the spirit will move you.
The spirit, Buick on the wings of the wind.
Sound familiar? Each year, fire claims a devastating toll in human life and property. Last year, fire killed over 11,000 people and destroyed close to $4 billion in property. Underwriters Laboratories field engineer Ray McNabb says you can help prevent this terrible killer from striking you or the ones you love by following these simple precautions.
Check the condition of electrical cords, appliances, and receptacles. Make certain that electrical cords are not frayed or placed beneath carpeting. Always keep matches and lighters away from children. And store paints and other flammable liquids in sealed containers.
And know exactly where your fire extinguisher is located.
That's right. Keep a fire extinguisher in the kitchen, the garage, and where your heaters are located. And be sure it is accessible should the fire start in that area.
This is public safety information from Underwriters Laboratories and this station.
Rocking in her chair, the bright hook flashing as she crocheted away at another rug, Aunt Gertrude found it hard to share completely in Joel and Jane's bubbling enthusiasm. Two reasons. One, she knew how large a gaping hole they would leave in her lonely life. And two, Aunt Gertrude was a pragmatist.
You say only $200 a month for that apartment.
Where shall I put my baseball spikes?
Oh, Lord, do we have to take those? What did you say, Aunt Gertrude?
Well, I just can't get over the price. It's a giveaway.
I know, but we do have to take care of the cat.
Oh, my, my, such a chore. Open a can twice a day.
Don't forget the litter pan.
Now, don't change the subject. Tell me, what's wrong with the apartment, I wonder? There's something fishy.
Auntie, you had Bob Anderson go over the lease with a fine-tooth comb.
And he's a real estate lawyer.
Oh, I'm quite satisfied with all the legal aspects. It just, I don't know, something else gives me a funny twinge in the left shoulder blade. Used to be a kind of storm warning. Well, now I guess it's just arthritis.
Don't worry about us, Auntie. And don't, please don't have any doubts.
Why, have you been having some...
For the love of Mike, would you chew Cassandra's? Would you lay off? Here we have the break of a century.
You're quite right, Joel. I guess I'm getting so old that the milk of human kindness is beginning to sour. Now, I feel just like both of you. It's just too good to be true. And to be practical, it does solve all our problems. There really isn't room for the three of us in this tiny apartment of mine, and when the baby comes...
Like the clowns climbing into the midget car.
I'm going to miss not being part of bringing up that baby, though.
Oh, you'll have plenty of chance. I'm going to leave that bed in baby's room as well as the crib. Besides, there's a huge couch in the living room.
There's the cab. Oh, brother, are we all packed?
Yes. Well, I guess this is it.
I'll take the heavy suitcase out first.
Oh, it's going to seem strange with only one instead of three.
At least we're not changing numbers.
Hmm?
Oh, the cat makes three. He's pretty special. He's an Abyssinian.
What's that?
Oh, they're gorgeous. Looks like a Siamese with blue eyes and a lovely gray coat, like the gray in chinchilla, only shorter. His name is Smokey.
Come on, Jane. He rustled the bustle. Our chariot's waiting.
Oh, wait a minute. I need the phone number.
Jane, take a couple of the shopping bags out, will you, honey, while I write it down for Auntie?
Sure. Only how did you get the number? I forgot all about it.
I took it off the bedroom phone.
Let me see. 313-1313. Oh, my, that's a terrible number. especially after apartment 13D.
Janie doesn't know it yet. I want to break it to her slowly. You superstitious people.
Oh, I got a twinge in my shoulder blade now like I was bit by a horse.
Who was bit by a horse?
No one, dear. Come on, grab the rest of this gear before our impatient hacky runs out on us. Come on, be right out.
Oh, Jane, I'm going to miss you.
Oh, me too. So will Joel. What the heck? It's not the last time we'll be seeing each other. Don't forget, we're having dinner Thursday night at the new dig.
Oh, that reminds me. Just in case I forget the address, can I have your copy of the newspaper?
No, I left it downtown.
Oh.
Don't worry, I picked you up a fresh copy. The ad is on page 37, column 5, a first one in furnished apartments. Now, look, this really is goodbye. Let's go.
I'll worry about you. Promise me to call as soon as you're settled.
Okay.
Oh, it might be almost midnight.
Come on.
Now, that's the last call. It sounds like the trump of doom.
Oh, right. Goodbye,
John. Goodbye, Aunt. Hey, we'll call you. Don't worry.
All right, dear. Oh, I better get that address written down before I forget. Now, let's see. Page 37, column 5. Furnished apartments. Here we are. Oh, that's very strange. The ad isn't in this paper. There's no ad at all.
Well, he didn't answer downstairs, and we have to let ourselves into the building. Maybe he's off getting old Smokey.
Then I guess we should just use our keys and go right in.
Well, that's what we paid the rent for. You want the honor?
Oh, no, I'm terrified to let go of this bag with the eggs in it. You open the lock.
Okay, here goes. I guess we need the bottom one, too.
Mr. Apollyon? You try, you're louder.
Mr. Apollyon?
Oh, look. It must be Smokey.
Hey, Smokey boy.
Oh, isn't he cute? Rubbing himself against your leg, just as if he'd known you all your life.
But where's Apollyon? Hey, you don't suppose that he's...
Look at Smokey. He's backing off as if he was inviting you to come in.
Look, leave the rest of the gear here. You dump that stuff in the kitchen while I look through the rest of the house.
Joel?
Yeah, Jane, what is it?
There's a note on the refrigerator door explaining everything. There's nothing to worry about.
Oh, what happened?
Darling, you know the oil shortage. They canceled the plane he was to leave on because of too few reservations, but offered him a seat on an earlier plane.
Oh.
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah.
What are you getting all head up about?
I don't know, Jane. I just had a kind of nutty feeling. I don't know what to call it. A death, I guess. I honestly thought I was going to find that nice old man lying somewhere with a heart attack or something. Yeah, I feel silly enough as it is. Now Smokey's laughing at me.
Not him. It's explained on a very detailed note on the fridge. It's Smokey's din-din time.
Oh.
He's hungry. Look what he gets.
Ugh, looks like raw flesh.
Well, whatever it is, you can see he loves it.
That cat is losing its attraction for me.
Oh, don't be a goon. Look how crazy you are for steak tartare.
Well, that's different. You give him some mouthwash after he's through.
Where are you going?
I'm going to bring the rest of our stuff in.
Great, just dump it in the bedroom. I'll sort it out later.
Oh, that was a wonderful dinner.
Oh, ought to be. Took long enough. What time is it?
I don't believe it. It's just midnight.
Oh, it's been a long, glorious, wonderful, relaxing...
What's that?
I don't know. Joel, that was a shot.
No, don't be silly. She walked out on him and shut the door.
She?
Or he, someone. Didn't old HSM give us a rundown on our neighbors?
Let's see. According to the bulletin he left on the fridge door, upstairs, no problem. A very ancient hermit who winters in Florida and seems to estivate in summer? What's that mean?
Oh, advantages of a classical education. If you sleep through the winter, you hibernate. If you sleep through the summer, you estivate, from the Latin estivare.
And I thought the Greeks always had a word for it.
No, I'm pulling your leg. I haven't the faintest idea what it is. What's the poop on our other cliff dwellers?
Let's see. A, across the hall is a widow who just left on a round-the-world cruise. B, next door is a couple of swingers who never seem to be home at the same time. And next door are two young kids he thinks we'll like, who go to the movies and theater a lot.
Okay, I'll blame the noise we heard on the swingers. Let's hope that's their last contribution for tonight.
Well, we're forgetting the dishes tonight.
Oh, good. We're going to bed and pull the covers over our heads.
It mightn't be a bad idea.
Okay, let's go.
Well, what are we standing here for?
You're not just standing. I have my arms around you, and I'm loving you, and I'm wondering if maybe I was just the most trusting, gullible dum-dum in the world, and maybe you should fetch me a smart karate chop to the left temple.
What are you talking about, my darling idiot?
I'm just wishing your darling idiot hadn't taken all our dough and paid it out in cash for security and the first month's rent. How's the bed?
Like floating on air.
Then look a little happier.
I'm just remembering I forgot to call Aunt Gertrude.
Well, you can't call her now. It's after 1 o'clock. Hey, where are my pajamas?
In the old beat-up case on top. Toilet stuff, too. Oh, but before you do that, could you do me a favor?
Sure.
I forgot my calcium pill. It's with all the vitamins in the kitchen.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Oh, Lord. Please don't let me have made a terrible mistake. I loved this apartment so at first, but now... Joel? Who? Who's that? No. Please. Oh! Oh, Smokey. Oh, what a start you gave me jumping on a bed like that. Oh, you mad at me? Why are you looking at me like that? Did I forget to say goodnight? What is it? You want me to come somewhere? Oh, maybe I should have given you some milk. All right, we'll take care of it. No, the kitchen's that way. Not... Where is it you want to go? Joel, come here.
I'll be right there. What is it, honey?
It's Smokey, look at him. He came and got me and led me here. You seem desperate to get into this closet.
And that's the one Apollyon has all his little ghoulish treasures tucked away in. We couldn't open it anyway. It's locked.
Try it, just in case. Oh, there may be something of Smokey's that got locked in there by accident.
Okay, here goes.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, how terrible. How terrible. And vicious. And unspeakable. And vile. Oh, no wonder that man... Oh, Joel, close it up. Oh, just shut away that horror. Oh, for God's sake, take me to bed and help me forget I ever saw it.
Okay, honey, what about Smokey?
Whatever it was, he found it and ran. Close that door up. Shut it. Oh, I wish I could think I'll ever be able to shut it out of my mind. No wonder I thought this was all too good to be true.
Too good to be true? Better to interpolate and make it read, too true to be good. Poor Jane and Joel. But how were such simple, ordinary people to know the language of black magic? Or that HSM Apollyon is only a synonym for the more familiar and deadly spirit we usually call the devil? I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
Magazine, sir?
Yes. Time magazine, please, stewardess.
Oh, golly, that man across the aisle just took the last copy of Time we have.
Oh.
Sorry. Magazine?
Pardon me?
Yes?
I noticed you haven't started reading your Time magazine yet.
No, you couldn't.
But you haven't.
I'm writing a letter to my mother, and when I'm finished, I'm going to enjoy Time. Don't try to peek inside of it, sir.
Stewardess.
Yes, sir.
This man isn't reading the Time magazine you gave.
I'm writing a letter first.
To his mommy.
Don't be nasty.
All I want.
Sir, couldn't this gentleman
just
here...
Just let me glance at the theater section.
No.
Modern Living?
No.
One little book review.
Look, I know how enjoyable Time magazine is to read. He'll start reading one article and another, and by the time he's finished, we'll be in Budapest.
I have a speed reading diploma.
I don't...
Problem here, stewardess.
Not really, Captain. This man here has the last copy of Time magazine, but he's writing a letter to his mommy.
Sir, you'll have to give up one or the other.
Yes. All right. Here.
Dear mommy,
oh,
I'm up in a
no.
big airplane.
Time makes everything more interesting, including you.
These radio mysteries are great for keeping you guessing, but there's no mystery about going to Northwest Federal Savings to get the highest interest rates possible. And you know you'll get the best help possible from neighborhood people who work there. For 50 years, Northwest Federal Savings has been helping people save for a new home, retirement, or for peace of mind. And today there's a variety of savings plans, from the regular 5.75% passbook savings account to the full 7.75% savings certificate. Of course, there's a substantial penalty for early withdrawal from savings certificates. Saving at Northwest Federal Savings is a great way to invest in your future without guesswork. So visit Northwest Federal Savings anytime. Irving Park west of Cicero, in Des Plaines, Norridge, and now Arlington Heights at Algonquin and Golf Roads. Remember, they're open 63 hours a week.
It's Northwest Federal Savings time, 63 hours a week.
This is WBBM Chicago, News Radio 78. The 11 o'clock temperature at Midway Airport, 3 degrees above zero.
A short and classic definition of tragedy is the downfall of a noble person whose character is flawed by a single weakness which causes him to break a moral law which leads to his destruction. But how much more tragic is the destruction of the innocent, particularly when they happen to cross the path of someone who makes their disaster equally inevitable. Which brings us back to Joel and Jane Trent.
Jane?
Yes, darling?
You stopped shaking. You think you can sleep now?
I'm sorry I was so childish before. I think it's because I'm carrying one.
No, you aren't childish. I'm just the same. I got the willies, too. I guess it's just because it's all so strange to us.
I think so, too.
Well, let's get a good night's sleep, like everyone else has had. Good Lord, what was that?
I don't know. It's from upstairs.
It must be the old man. What's happened to him?
I don't know. Just pay it no attention.
Pay it no attention? No one could sleep with that noise going on. I'm going to go up and tell him to stop.
No, please. Don't do that. Please don't go up there.
Well, why not? Are you going to be ill?
No, it's that up there.
You mean our noisy neighbor.
I'm scared, Joel.
Yeah.
I've had about all I can take, and that noise is really driving me up the wall.
Yeah, me too. I know what I'll do. I'll call the superintendent. Got his number on the sheet?
No. Wouldn't you know it's the one thing he left off? It's just his apartment number, 1A.
Oh, yeah. Look, I'll take a run down in the elevator and get him to come back up and see what's going on up there. Will you be all right alone?
Yes. No. Oh, Joel, I don't know what's the matter with me. I'm not usually like this. I don't know what's got into me.
I do.
What?
My son and heir.
Oh, you male chauvinist. Just because she's carrying a baby doesn't mean a woman has to act like one.
I'm sorry. I know, honey. Look, I'll tell you what. I'll just take the elevator up there and I'll find out what's going on myself.
Oh, no, you don't. You don't know what you'd be getting into. Go get the super. His name is Bill Josephs. Oh. 1A.
All right. Okay. Gotta stop that somehow. Oh, well, here's your protector standing guard by the door. Go on in, Smokey. Keep Mrs. Trent company. I'll be right back.
That ghastly racket up there doesn't turn you a hair, Smokey. But then you're a male cat, so I suppose that makes us totally different breed. Joel?
Yeah, Jane, it's just me. Would you believe it? That damn elevator's out of order. I rang and rang. It just stays in the first floor. That damn racket's still going on.
Yep. Only one it doesn't bother is old Smokey here. Joel, are there fire stairs?
Yeah, but I'm not going down any 13 flights just to find a locked door. All the doors, even ours, have a safety lock on them.
What are we going to do?
Well, first off, I'm going upstairs to tell Barnacle Bill, or whatever his name is.
It's Nemo.
Oh, like Captain Nemo in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to tell Nemo to up anchor and get out of range.
Joel, don't get into any fight.
With a guy old enough to be my great-grandfather?
Joel?
Yeah, it's okay. It's me, Jane. Half a sec. Yeah, I'm right here.
Well, what did he say when you got him to open the door? What was he doing?
I don't know. He didn't open the door.
Why?
Look, I don't know how to tell you this, Jane.
Well, just tell me anyway, but tell me, what is it?
Well, I took some newspaper with me to wedge a door so I wouldn't get trapped. I fixed ours. Then when I got to the top of the stairs, it was a different kind of door.
What do you mean, different?
Well, it was, you know, one of those heavy steel fire doors with a big heavy strap bars you slide home.
But why would 14 have a different kind of door from ours?
Because... well, look, Jane, darling, maybe I just try to skip the...
Well, you better not, or I don't know what might happen to...
Well, all right, take it easy. Just hang on, because I'm going to have to give you a real rocker.
Let me have it.
It's a different kind of door, because there isn't any 14th floor at all, or 15th, or 20th. All that's over us is the roof.
You've been giving me.
Oh, Brandy, I had a good jolt myself.
The sound is still there.
That's right.
What causes it? Something loose up there on the roof?
No, I searched it thoroughly. It's not coming from the roof.
Then where? The neighbors?
I checked that out. Whatever other lies Mr. Apollyon told us, there isn't anyone in any of the apartments on this floor. I've done everything but break down the doors to make sure.
Then what are we going to do? I can't take this all night, Joel.
Nobody could. I am going to call the police. I don't know what we've gotten ourselves into, but we are now getting out.
Oh, I'm afraid it's a little too late for that, Mr. Trent.
Apollyon, where the devil are you?
Sitting right in front of you, in his other form.
Smokey?
I should have known from the beginning, from his eyes. Shine a strong light in a cat's eyes, and what happens?
The pupil closes up.
Into a long, narrow slit. But in a human being?
It closes into a tight, round, dark circle.
Like Mr. Smokey. Look as the lamp shines in his eyes.
Yes, very observant, Jane. I should have been more careful. But since the illusion serves no function anymore, I might as well resume my Father Christmas guise. Normally, I wouldn't have had to return to it except for you.
Why not?
Oh, people act in so many strange degrees. Some just go to sleep no matter how strange the noise is. Some trap themselves between floors. Some very hysterical ones try to leap from roof to roof. Some break through the neighbor's doors and meet quite unexpected deaths since there's nothing but space beyond them. And some sit awake all night not realizing that morning will never come again. And some are... a little troublesome.
But none escape?
Well, it wouldn't be very good for my reputation, would it?
Who are you?
Oh, Jane, you tease me about my classical education. Little good it served me. Apollyon, of course. A synonym for the devil. And the HSM? His satanic majesty, I presume?
We all have our little conceits.
Well, this time... maybe we can take that conceit down a peg or two.
Well, not with the phone. It's not connected. As a matter of fact, it doesn't really exist.
Huh?
Listen.
Now what?
Well, if you will forgive the devil quoting scripture, or to be more exact, the Book of Common Prayer. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
You'd kill us?
Oh, my dear, as attractive as they are, I have no interest in your corporeal presences. The soul is all I'm after.
Well, you won't get ours without a fight.
Oh!
There was no pain, my dear.
You killed him. But you won't get me.
Jane, it's too late. The contract is made.
The elevator. The elevator.
No, don't step in there. The car is... Now, why didn't she wait for me to tell her the car was still on the first floor? Poor, crushed little sparrow. But what matter? The bodies live and die in the blink of time's eyelid. The soul is what lives forever. No time to waste philosophizing. Tomorrow is another equally busy day. A quick general cleanup. And then the ad must be sneaked into that one right paper so the Smithers will get it. I wonder what the New York Chronicle would have to say if they knew that they had a real printer's devil. Yeah?
Oh, look, my name is Gertrude Conway, and my niece and her husband are renting Mr. Apollyon's apartment. Now, I've been trying to call them ever since last
lady,
night,
lady,
and I have now been informed by the telephone company that there is no such number, but that there could be no such number. Also, Jane, my niece, she promised to call me if I didn't call her, and yeah, even if she thought last night was too late, she would have called this morning. Yeah. You see, she's going to have a baby.
Oh, well, then, maybe she went to a hospital.
In the middle of her second trimester.
Huh?
The baby is less than 5 months old.
Oh. Still, you
it
know,
it doesn't matter
might,
anyway. Yeah. I've checked with all the hospitals, and she has not been admitted. I'm worried something may have happened. I want you, please, to take me up to the apartment with the keys.
Oh, what apartment?
Mr. H.S.M. Apollyon, who sublet it to them.
Lady, we ain't got no Mr. Apollyon on it, or whatever his name is in this building.
Oh, certainly you have. This is 27 Southwest 62nd Street, isn't it?
Sure, that's right.
Well, very well. It's apartment 13D.
13D?
That's right.
Well, that solves the whole problem.
Oh, good.
There ain't no apartment 13D in this building.
What?
Point of fact, lady, there ain't no 13th floor. You know, like most New York buildings. We go from 12 to 14 and then right up to 30.
Are you sure?
Look, I've been running this building for 22 years.
Oh, my God. I have this terrible feeling there's something awfully wrong. Nothing unusual happened around this building last night or in the neighborhood.
No, no. Quiet as a church, ma'am. Not even a mugging. And believe me, I get all the word when Officer Strauss drops in for his morning coffee.
But two healthy young people can't just disappear into thin air. What was the floor, George?
13.
Good thing we ain't either of us superstitious, huh?
Yeah, not at this rent. Look out for the catch, huh?
Don't worry. You just trust me.
Aha! I thought I heard the lift. My Anglican background, I should really say English, actually. Elevator, I meant, of course. Are you here to see the flat? Apartment, I mean?
Yeah. I'm George Smithers, and this is my wife, Violet.
H.S.M. Apollyon here. Everyone always thinks I'm Navy, but I'm not. It isn't HMS, you see. HSM stands for something quite different.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do come along in. I'm sure you're dying to see the apartment, and I can promise you I won't disappoint you.
Two more sacrificial lambs to the slaughter. Their doom, of course, is sealed. But, as Mr. Joseph says, so many people disappear in a big city every day. Not quite in this way, of course. But I suppose you can never be too careful. The sad trouble is that, as Elizabeth Barrett Browning said, the devil is most devilish when respectable. I'll be back shortly.
Box 576, New York, 10016. That's Box 576, New York, 10016.
Fiat emptor, the Latin phrase which says, let the buyer beware. This is true of all advertisements, of course. And the tighter the economy gets, the more the buyer should beware. But we wouldn't want to suggest you need fear the kind of ad we have featured tonight. In the beginning, we promised you a spine-tingling ghost story, which featured the two phrases, too good to be true and too true to be good. As a good night, we just like to suggest it was all in fun. And even if it wasn't true, we hope you found it good. Our cast included Jada Rowland, Paul Hecht, Ian Martin, and Bryna Rayburn. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I don't follow this.
Put on the whiskers and the goggles.
What? What?
Just do as I say.
Now,
there. Now, no one would ever dream you was Jupiter Dunlap. You just take off your clothes and put them on poor old Jake. And you put on Jake's clothes.
Why?
And we'll bury Jake.
Bury him?
Nobody knows about Jake except you and me. Yeah. And them there two fellas, and, well, they're long gone. They ain't gonna say nothing.
But we just can't go. I mean, we have to tell the sheriff.
We will, in good time. Meanwhile, you and poor old Jupiter Dunlap, you will have disappeared.
Me? But why?
Because we're going to let on that it was you that was murdered.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Time Magazine and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Chicago News Radio, 78. The temperature at Midway Airport now holding at 4 degrees above zero. Lupin Lakefront reading is plus 5. Humidity is 75%. We'll have CBS Radio Network news in just a minute. You know, for over 19 years, Arco American has been telling it like it is. More often as not, you may have paid far too much for quality auto insurance. A survey published in the Chicago Tribune dramatically substantiates this claim by Arco American. The article states that you could save up to 75% in auto insurance premiums if you shopped for it. Well, Arco American has the time and knowledge to do that, and they're good at it. You see, they're professionals with expertise to offer fantastic savings to the qualified buyer. Call ES94677 for your phone quotation. There's no obligation, and the savings could amount to hundreds of dollars for you. Remember the number, ES94677. At Arco American, all insurance plans are available with a low-down payment and with easy monthly installments. Arco, ARCO American, is open weekdays till 8 o'clock p.m. Let Arco American save you money on your insurance needs. Give them a call at ES94677.
CBS News. President Ford addresses a convention of the American Farm Bureau Federation on Monday in what's billed as a non-political speech. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Ford will be discussing farm issues as well as domestic and international topics when he speaks to the convention in St. Louis. On Sunday, the president of the federation, William Kufus, said that he will make it clear that the organization does not want agriculture to be used as a negotiating tool with the Soviet Union. It places too much of a burden on the farmers, said Kufus. He blames the State Department and Secretary of State Kissinger for trying to use the farmers as a pawn. More news coming up.
Hello, world. Denny Bracken here with who else but the super chef Mike Roy himself. And we're here to tell you about the first full week of the Cooking Thing broadcast in the new year. What's on the menu, Michael?
Well, we're going to start the week off tomorrow with a tuna stuffed loaf.
marvelous way to feature French or Italian bread.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuesday, we'll still be in the bacon pan. We'll make cornmeal bread.
Come Wednesday, I see we're going to do a number for the old red, white, and blue, huh?
Well, we're in our bicentennial year, and what better way to celebrate than to make some historical American meals? Come tell the folks about the plan on Wednesday and Thursday. Well, we'll have the recipe.
That means come Thursday, we're going to dine with Thomas Jefferson at Monticello.
Uh-huh.
Talk about the bleaching of flour as well.
That's right. All right, you are. Friday, we'll have an old favorite brought up to date. We make a peach brown baddie.
That almost has a colonial air about it, too, Chef.
That's right. Woods Dance. Saturday, we'll modern all the way. Sour cream chicken bake.
From the days of yesteryear all the way up to modern times. You got the best in cuisine when you tune in Mike Roy's Cook Thing. Monday through Saturday, right here on CBS.
Senator Edward Kennedy met all afternoon with anti-busing groups in Boston and came away saying that he will see if there's any way, under existing law, to get federal money to pay for desegregation of Boston public schools. Kennedy says he does not think Congress will pass a new law helping Boston with court-ordered desegregation. After the meeting in his office, Gerald Harrington of CBS News asked Kennedy about a report that he could change his mind about running for president.
In today's National Enquirer, your mother was quoted...
What did mother do today?
Your mother is quoted as saying that she feels that mounting political pressure perhaps might force you to break your promise to run for the presidency. What do you say?
Well, I love mother, but there's nothing that's going to change my earlier statement or position.
Which is that he is not going to be a candidate for president this year. Mrs. Rose Kennedy is quoted as saying that he would run if the Democratic Party was in trouble. The UN Security Council is scheduled to begin a general Middle East debate next week. Israeli Prime Minister Rabin says that if the council tries to take over Arab-Israeli peace negotiations, it will stalemate all peace moves now underway. The Israeli cabinet already has gone on record opposing such a possible takeover, saying it's up to the parties involved to solve the problem. The Egyptian government, meantime, is gearing up for the UN debate, as we hear from Peter Warg in Cairo.
Egypt is attaching great importance to those forthcoming United Nations Security Council debates on the Middle East problem. The debates are due to begin on January 12th, and already Egyptian Foreign Minister Ismail Fahmy is in a flurry of diplomatic activity preparing for them. Up to now, Israel has said she would not attend the session because the Palestine Liberation Organization has been invited, although the United States has urged Israel to participate. Foreign Minister Fahmy has already had meetings about the matter with the American ambassador to Egypt, Herman Iltz. Fahmy's also scheduled to have strategy sessions here with leaders of the PLO. According to the semi-official newspaper Al Ahram, intensive contacts are underway between Cairo and other world capitals about the debates. And it's also reported that the Egyptian Foreign Ministry will arrange with the U.S. Embassy here to obtain American entry visas for the Palestinian delegation to the U.N. debates. Peter Ward for CBS News, Cairo.
A hairy story in a minute.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. How many yards are in a mile? How big is an acre? What's the difference between Troy and avoirdupois weight? How big is a rod and what is a peck? You're not sure? Well, most people share your confusion. But it won't be long before all these units of measure become only a memory. Soon, the United States is going metric. You know, the metric system already is used more than most people realize. Cigarettes are advertised as 100 millimeters long. Many people have 35 millimeter cameras. And many canned and packaged goods list weight in both ounces and grams or liters. There will be plenty of time to get used to the new system. And in the meantime, for example, a 12-inch ruler will also show approximately 305 millimeters. For more information on the metric system, write Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C., 20234. A tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Judith Quist returns to her waitress job in Summers, Connecticut, Monday, after a 2-year disagreement with her male boss about her hairy legs. Mrs. Quist refused to shave her legs when he asked her to. He said customers had complained, and so she was fired. She took her case to the State Commission on Human Rights, charging sexual discrimination, but the commission dismissed her charge. Mrs. Quist finally reached an out-of-court settlement that lets her come back to work with full seniority rights, provided she wears dark, opaque stockings. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
We're those news people with the worldwide information gathering resources of CBS News and the largest local radio news team. News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
Mr. Cheney, tomorrow, Ronald Reagan opens his campaign formally in New Hampshire. How serious a threat is he, in your view, to Gerald Ford?
Well, I think anyone would have to take a primary challenge. Presidential election year very seriously. Certainly we do take it seriously, but I don't think that's surprising at this stage of the game. We plan to spend some time in New Hampshire ourselves campaigning. Certainly the president will be up there. I think he looks forward to an active and vigorous campaign over the next few weeks, and he remains confident that he obviously does expect to capture the nomination in the election.
From CBS News, Washington, Face the Nation, on the CBS Radio Network. A spontaneous and unrehearsed news interview with Richard B. Cheney, White House Chief of Staff. Mr. Cheney will be questioned by CBS News White House Correspondent Phil Jones, White House Correspondent for Newsweek Thomas M. DeFrank, and by CBS News White House Correspondent Robert Pierpoint. We shall resume the interview in a moment. But first, here is Robert Pierpoint.
Richard B. Cheney is one of those rare people in our society, a man of enormous power who is almost unknown to the public. Cheney is the new chief of staff to the President of the United States. He replaced Donald Rumsfeld in that job last November during the shuffle of top government and cabinet officials that saw Rumsfeld move to the Pentagon. Cheney, who had been Rumsfeld's deputy for the previous year, was appointed by President Ford to become the new White House Administrative Director, which is what the Chief of Staff title really means, a successor to such famous names as Lyndon Johnson's Joseph Califano and Richard Nixon's Bob Haldeman and General Alexander Haig. Cheney is 34 years old, one of the youngest men ever to hold such an important position. He was born in Lincoln, Nebraska, but moved to Casper, Wyoming in his early teens, where he eventually met and married his wife, the former Lynn Vincent. And although he and his family now live in Bethesda, Maryland, Wyoming is still called home. Cheney received his bachelor's and master's degrees from the University of Wyoming in the field of political science. But after writing a particularly brilliant paper for the National Center for Education in Politics at New York University, Cheney was persuaded to give up his idea of a teaching career and go to work as an intern for Republican Governor Warren Knowles of Wisconsin. Later, Cheney won a fellowship to intern in Washington and transferred to the office of Congressman William Steiger, another Wisconsin Republican. A friend of Congressman Rumsfeld's, Steiger recommended that Rumsfeld take on the young Cheney when newly elected President Nixon persuaded Rumsfeld to leave Congress in 1969 to run the Office of Economic Opportunity, or the Anti-Poverty Program. Since then, except for a short stint with an investment advisory firm here, Cheney has worked tirelessly as the hard-driving Rumsfeld's deputy. Although Cheney and his wife love to backpack through their home area Rocky Mountains in the summertime, they are not going to have much time for that this election year.
And now we continue with Face the Nation.
Mr. Cheney, you say that the president is taking Ronald Reagan's candidacy seriously, but that he is confident that he, Gerald Ford, will win. What issues do you think that Gerald Ford will be able to use against Ronald Reagan? Where is Reagan vulnerable?
Well, at this stage of the game, as the president himself has said on numerous occasions, it's his intention to run an affirmative campaign, to talk about what his hopes and aspirations are for the country, to emphasize his record over the past 25 years as congressman, as a minority leader, as a vice president, and as president. I don't expect that he will spend any time himself talking specifically about any challenge specifically to Governor Reagan's proposals at all. I think the American people will judge him based on what he believes to be the future direction of the country and what he's done as president over the past year, year and a half.
Mr. Cheney, you've already told us that you seem very confident about the president's ultimate victory in 1976. As you already mentioned also, he's been president almost 18 months, and the polls would suggest that he has not yet put together a constituency in those 18 months. If that's so, how do you expect him to build a constituency of his own in the next 10 months between now and Election Day?
Well, it seems to me if you're going to try to analyze the situation at this stage of the game, it's important to look far beyond just the simple question of what a particular poll may or may not say at the present time. Certainly there are polls that can be found at this stage of the game, like statistics, to support any conclusion somebody would want. As I look back over the past 18 months, what the president's done has been in many respects